In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear family, as we begin our meditation today, let us call to mind the brilliant opening words of Pope St. John Paul II in his encyclical, Veritatis Splendor, the Splendor of the Truth, which was published on August 6, 1993. You know, August 6th is the Feast of the Transfiguration. It's so profound that he chose that date for its publication, you see, because the truth does transfigure us. The splendor of the truth. The opening words are thus. The splendor of the truth shines forth in all the works of the Creator. So the truth shines forth in the sunsets, but that's of God. It is not God. He says that the truth shines forth in all the works of the Creator and in a special way in man, created in the image and likeness of God. He references Genesis 1:26. He continues, truth enlightens man's intelligence and shapes his freedom, leading him to know and love the Lord. Hence the psalmist prays, let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord, Psalm 4:6. Well, please keep that in mind, this splendor of the truth, published on the Feast of the Transfiguration, as we celebrate this day, the solemnity of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. His birth is so significant in the church, I didn't even know this. It's one of only 4 days that can supersede regular masses if they happen to fall on Sunday. They are the Feast of St. Joseph, who happens to be the patron of our diocese, on March 19th. That falls on a Sunday, we celebrate that day. Then we celebrate the feast of our very own parish patron, in this case, St. James the Less, on the Sunday closest to May 3rd. That actually applies to any, like for instance, at Peter and Paul, it was on the Sunday closest to the 29th of June. And we also celebrate the Feast of All Saints Day, if that falls on a Sunday. And finally, this day, the Nativity of St. John the Baptist, a very special day, given very special recognition. Of course, you know that because we had 2 readings in the psalm, and we had the Gloria, and we're going to have the Creed as well. So why is this day so special to Holy Mother Church? Because Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, categorically stated that St. John the Baptist is the greatest man born of woman. And that pretty much says it all. But let's understand the truth. Why more deeply, why this is true. Jesus only confirmed what the holy angel told Zechariah, his father, in the Gospel of the Vigil Mass. This is the Mass of the day. In the Gospel of the Vigil Mass, it goes, once when he was serving as priest in his division's turn before God, according to the practice of priestly service, he's talking about Zechariah, was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to burn incense. You know, there's a reason why we burn incense. Almighty God commanded it. That's why we burn incense. In fact, you know what I read not too long ago was that frankincense, which we use almost exclusively here, that actually is thought to prevent or kill like the virus. So maybe the reason I'm so healthy is I'm usually surrounded by so much of this incense. Then when the whole assembly of the people were praying outside at the hour of the incense offering, I mean, that's how specific it was. They had an hour. The angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah standing at the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was troubled by what he saw and fear came upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. That's a passage Melinda Gates doesn't seem to have read, or Bill. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He, St. John, will go before him, the Lord, in the spirit and power of none other than Elijah, who himself was taken up to heaven in a fiery chariot, And he will do this to prepare a people fit for the Lord. That's the gospel of the Vigil Mass. So from his very conception, we know St. John will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we see the truth of the angel's statement when St. John, so filled with the Holy Spirit, leapt, you know, this is about six months along in his mother's womb. He leapt in the womb of his mother at the very approach of the Lord our God, the Lamb of God, in his own blessed mother's womb. Remember, that's the visitation. And then he's born, and then we heard Zechariah says his name is John. And then Zechariah is healed and freed from that muteness that overcame him when the angel first appeared to him at the altar of incense. And this muteness that was inflicted upon him after his disbelief in the holy angel, he was able to speak again. So he proclaims to all present the Benedictus, we call it. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. As an aside, he's come to his people. He's talking about that Jesus is already on the way. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. You see, because Jesus was only, John was 6 months ahead, so that meant at John's birth, Jesus still had 3 months to go in his mother's womb. So Zechariah is already proclaiming this, that he has come already, even though he's not yet born. Again, something Planned Parenthood doesn't seem to grasp. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and remember his holy covenant. And then he speaks about John. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before him to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, those are beautiful words from Zechariah. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high, Jesus, shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Well, unfortunately, that glorious part of the gospel was not included in the gospel from the Vigil Mass, nor from today's gospel passage on the solemnity itself. But those words are key to our meditation today. First, recall to mind Jesus' words about a little bit of leaven raises the whole dough, meaning leaven to heaven. That's what each one of us are called to be, this little bit of leaven that can raise the whole dough, leaven to heaven. And remember what happens if we do not do our part. If we refuse to acknowledge Jesus before men, you know that Jesus said then that the salt will be salt that loses its flavor, and we're only good for being thrown out and trampled underfoot. But more frighteningly, Jesus said, if we fail to acknowledge him before others, if we fail in our duty to be leaven to heaven, then he's not going to acknowledge us before his Father in heaven. So we must do our part to be leaven, raising souls to heaven. The flip side, of course, of leaven is the life lesson of rat poison. If we, through our failure, sin of omission of not being leaven, we provide rat poison, give that to people in all that we say and do or don't do. Well, then, you know what rat poison does? Just 1%, a little bit, kills the rat dead. That applies in spades to our leadership. Good Catholic leadership is like good leaven. Bad pretend Catholic leadership is like rat poison. Good Catholic leadership strengthens our faith and raises our hearts and souls to heaven. Bad pretend Catholic leadership kills our faith dead, just shoves us down the broad road to destruction. How relevant that is to each one of us today, and how blessed we are in our times to be able to discern clearly. Watch now. we now can discern clearly between good Catholic leadership that did the best they could to keep our churches open and enable the faithful to receive the sacraments of grace versus bad Catholic leadership that did not keep the churches open and even went so far as to deny the priests, to command the priests to not fulfill their duty for which they were ordained, which was to provide the faithful with the sacraments of grace. Oh, we can see it clearly now, dear family. That is a bright line now that we can see. Well, here's an example of bad pretend Catholic leadership, far less obvious than what we're seeing today, but equally destructive. And it has been going on for many ways for many years by fake Catholic theologians. I'm talking about those people who think their scholarship is so grand that it exceeds the knowledge and wisdom accumulated by the one holy Catholic and apostolic church and all its patriarchs and prophets, all its saints and martyrs since Abraham 4,000 years ago. You will hear some imbecilic theologians and priests taught by them say something so imbecilic as Jesus did not know he was God until the time he began his public ministry. He was clueless for the first 30 years. Some even go so far as to say that even then he just sort of knew he was special, but did not yet really know he was the Son of God, second person of the Trinity, not until long after he began his public ministry. And I've even heard it said that Jesus did not know that he was God until he was raised from the dead. Well, as a brilliant Catholic priest and teacher once said, you have to be educated into that special kind of imbecility. And that hits the nail on the head. We don't have to be massively educated to recognize the imbeciles that are such theologians. All we have to do is read the Gospel of Luke. Let us watch a progression from the day Zechariah, St. John the Baptist was conceived to the fifth joyful mystery, the finding in the temple. First, we know that from the time the angel visited Zechariah, he, Zechariah, knew St. John the Baptist was extraordinarily special, filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb, who would, as Zechariah proclaimed at his birth, in his lifetime, go before the Lord God and Messiah to prepare the people. So Zechariah not only knew that St. John was ordained to a special role by Almighty God himself, but that the Messiah would raise up in St. John's lifetime. And at the start, the only question in Zechariah's mind surely must have been, who is he? Who is the Messiah? He's coming. My son's going to proclaim his coming. Who is he? 6 months after the angel appeared to Zechariah, he knew full well who the Messiah was, because we know that, watch, we know that he knew at that point, because we know that 6 months after St. John was conceived in Elizabeth's womb, we have the first joyful mystery, the Annunciation. Let's look at the chronology. The holy archangel Gabriel visits the Blessed Virgin Mary, where Mary conceived of the Holy Spirit. And remember, St. Gabriel the archangel told Mary, and behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, talking about John the Baptist. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing would be impossible with God. So secondly, Mary then visits Elizabeth, the second joyful mystery, the visitation. And as Mary, you know this, as Mary came to the house of Elizabeth, we know that St. John the Baptist leapt in her womb because of the approach of Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. And we know Elizabeth knew that John, that Jesus was the Lord and Messiah, because Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women." And I love this next part. "And blessed is the fruit of your womb." And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed are you, believe that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. By the way, just that little bit, you could have one whole homiletic meditation on Elizabeth's response to just having being in the presence of Jesus. How, as Catholics, are we supposed to respond when we are in the presence of Jesus? Do we ever think, I should, maybe I'm not quite as exultant as St. Elizabeth. And yet we even get something more than what St. Elizabeth got. She just got the real presence. We receive into ourselves the real presence himself. That's for another day. But just ponder that. Isn't that profound? Look at Elizabeth's response. Just because Jesus is near, she's in his real presence. We actually receive within us our Lord. Well, we know that Zechariah knew this too, which is why Zechariah could say what he said 3 months later after the visitation at the birth of St. John the Baptist. You, my son, shall go before the Lord to prepare his way, just like the holy archangel said. Then, of course, remember, keeping this is all about whether Jesus knew he was the Lord. Thirdly, we have the third joyful mystery, the Nativity. You know, now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them. So that's like in just the space of 9 months. It's 12 months, I have my math here. The angel of the Lord appears to Zachary, appears to Mary, and now he's appearing to the shepherds in the field. So the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Messiah and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes." And we talked about swaddling clothes before, how swaddling clothes were used to keep the little lambs from getting hurt so that when it came time for the Paschal sacrifice, they would be spotless lambs. That's what swaddling was supposed to do, to prevent you from harm. And look what's happening here at the birth of Jesus. The Lamb of God is wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." That's why we pray the Gloria at such masses. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And then, of course, we have the fourth joyful mystery, the presentation in the temple, where Simeon and the prophetess Anna both knew they held the Messiah. They beheld him. And just for good measure, let's add the visitation of the Magi, the three wise men, and the star above the manger of Jesus. And then let's ask ourselves a simple question. If Zechariah and Elizabeth knew that Jesus was the Lord, the Messiah, the Son of God, and our Blessed Mother knew that Jesus was the Lord, the Messiah, the Son of God, can we possibly think that they kept that big secret from Jesus? Even if that were conceivable, that they didn't casually mention that to Jesus, even if that were conceivable, we surely know that by the age of 12, somebody spilled the beans. Somebody let the cat out of the bag. Jesus knew exactly who he was when he stayed behind in the temple in what became the fifth joyful mystery, the finding in the temple. Why were you looking for me? Do you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And really, let us ask ourselves, despite the definitive, conclusive, incontrovertible, immeasurable weight of the five joyful mysteries, let's use our heads and ask ourselves, if St. John the Baptist, 6 months along in his mother's womb, leapt at the approach of Jesus the Lord, if St. John knew that Jesus was Lord, what imbecile would even begin to think that Jesus himself did not know who he was when Jesus was in the womb? Oh, St. John knew. Jesus was clueless. Does that even make sense? So how on God's green earth does any imbecilic theologian propose that Jesus did not know he was the Son of God up to and even after he began his public ministry. Such propositions are nothing but rat poison that destroys the faith of the people. And Jesus, as you know, had choice words for anyone who hands out rat poison about the great millstone. Well, that all sounds really nice, Father, some might say. Great theology. Makes us feel warm and fuzzy, doesn't it? The angels singing glory to God in the highest, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's all back then. And sure, there's the occasional theologian who just goes completely off the rails, apostatizes, really. Why is that so important for us? Well, I could say because of the last 70 years. Because we see the results of such imbecilic ideology. We see the death of faith all around us. When even pretend Catholic leaders do such imbecilic things, such as hide the tabernacle away in some hard-to-find closet. You've all seen it. Remove kneelers from the pews, even though we know from sacred scripture that the holy and exalted name of Jesus, at his name, every knee must bend. So how much more so when we are in his real presence? I suppose if you hide the tabernacle off in some crazy other room, you don't necessarily need kneelers here, right? Because after all, he's not here. He's in some crazy room. We've seen some of their destructive behavior, their non-belief in the Holy of Holies, the sacred sanctuary, which has been turned into a free-for-all for everybody and their brother to waltz up and do their part. There's this church down, I think it's in Naperville, Illinois. How crazy it is. So remember when the priest does the great doxology and he lifts up the body and the blood and chants through him, with him, and in him. Oh, Lord Almighty God, through, let's see. Oh, you know what part I'm talking about, the great doxology. Right? At this particular parish, they have 10 or 12 extraordinary ministers lined up in the aisle, each with their own ciboria, and they're all raising their hands and chanting it too. Sorry, that's the priest's job. Look at the lunacy of some churches. That's why it's important for us today, because that kind of crazy was still going on when I was in seminary, and I think it's still going on today. I mean, let us remember that the lesson of Zechariah, he and he alone could go into the holy sanctuary, even when he was in there for a really long time. And they were thinking, well, what's taking so long? They couldn't go in to check and see if he had a heart attack or something. They weren't allowed in. That's why it's important for us today to know all this stuff, to have it be inculcated, so to know the splendor of this truth, so that when we see the lie, when we see the rat poison, we can recognize it for what it is. The list could go on and on and on as we look around us and see the degradation of our churches and our sacred liturgy by imbeciles who had leadership positions in the church, who fed their flocks nothing but rat poison, who in our day and age locked the churches and denied the people the sacraments. Well, today we celebrate the solemnity of the nativity of St. John the Baptist, who did go before the Lord, specifically because he knew his mission was to go before the Lord, which is why at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, I love this line too, when St. John first caught sight of Jesus approaching, he knew it was time to proclaim to all the world, behold, the Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb wrapped in swaddling clothes at his nativity. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And then, in an ultimate act of humility, the greatest man born of woman, St. John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. You probably know this, just in case you've forgotten. And the reason why we celebrate St. John the Baptist at this time of year is because from this day forward, days start to decrease. I must decrease, he said, and he, Jesus, must increase. Well, let us humble ourselves and daily pray that we decrease so that Jesus our Lord will increase, so that we can fulfill our sole purpose in life, which is, as you know, to know, love, and serve God by being witnesses of our faith by being good salt that flavors things, by being leaven to heaven, by being witnesses of our faith unto martyrdom. And St. John did just that, which is why he said he's the greatest man born of woman. And we today on this holy solemnity bask in that splendor of the truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.